My friend Brian Myers, who's getting set for TNA Slammiversary Sunday, UBS Arena. Big Mets fan, big New York sports fan as well. Brian, I've had you on before, but never in studio. Cool to have you aboard.
My first time in studio, man. I'm psyched.
Yeah, you get to see the great fan Diggs here sitting in BT seat right there.
Oh,
keep
wow.
it warm for me. Got a lot of Yankees.
I got some Met butt cheeks in this chair right now for him, so I hope he's happy.
So tell me about the Slammiversary stuff that's coming up on Sunday here. For you, I know you've wrestled at the Garden before. Have you wrestled at UBS?
So that's why this is such a mind-blowing experience for me. You know, this is I've had a very, you know, blessed career, 21 years doing this. I've wrestled Madison Square Garden more times than I can remember, the Nassau Coliseum, which is like my home away from home. You know, won the tag team titles there. This building, I was
MetLife.
Yeah, MetLife. Right. I won tag team titles there too. Another name
right.
for you. But UBS, I was wondering, how am I ever going to get this off the bucket list? And here we are, the biggest TNA show of all time, you know, 15 minutes from my house, you know. So I felt like I willed this one into existence.
All right, so what makes this the biggest TNA show of all time?
You know, TNA has a pretty epic history, right? You know, some ups and a lot of downs. And, you know, I've been part of the roster for the past 5 years. It's been the most fun I've ever had in my career. And I've watched this company grow. You know, we're doing buildings where, you know, we're lucky if 250 people show up, you know, now to be in front of thousands, you know, in my backyard at UBS. It's just such a big deal. You know, we've grown in such leaps and bounds the past couple of years, and I've been a part of that, you know, and it's really important to me.
Do you think that you've moved on far enough? Because in my mind, like when we first met, I knew you as Curt Hawkins from the WWE.
Of course.
And then I learned, because we met through social media, where you started the podcast about wrestling figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. And I didn't put two and two together that you were wearing blue and orange because of your love for the Mets.
Right.
But then even when we first started becoming friends, you were still like kind of Curt Hawkins in my mind, Brian Myers. But now I feel like, it's not just because we're friends. I think you've developed on your own enough of your name outside, removed from that. Do you still feel that, or you still think there's a big tie with Curt Hawkins?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm proud of what Curt Hawkins accomplished, but I'm more proud of, you know, what Brian Myers has done, right? Because it's almost like I've done it on my own. You know, it's just a legal thing. You know, WWE, I say it's my stripper name, Curt Hawkins. You know, like, they just want to own it. It's not a big deal. Some of my closest friends in the world call me Hawkins.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm
every
saying.
Day. That's a wrestler thing, though. That's never going
to
go away.
It's weird for me, especially in the beginning. Like, I don't know what the hell to call him. His name's Brian, but he's Curt Hawkins. But now, like I said, it's a clear, like, I think you've separated, at least in my mind, separated yourself from that name.
And I think that's always the goal, right? Because, you know, I was blessed to have my WWE career twice. You know, 14 years I spent with them. It's just, you know, you can't just relax and sit back and let that be what it was. You know, I want to move on and keep going. You know, wrestling, you know, I'm going to keep doing this till Father Time gets me and he's going to get us all. But, you know, I got to keep moving forward.
You have no issues, and knock on wood, like injury issues or anything that have been plaguing you for the last several years?
You know, no. I tell people, like, my body turned on me at 38, I think was finally, you know, I just turned 40. 38 was when you start to wake up going, oh my God. But I'm all things considered, I'm doing pretty good. You know, a couple surgeries here and there, but nothing too bad, to be honest with you. The only things that really scares me these days are concussions. You know, we have concussion specialists come in and talk to us. That's kind of the only things that I think would put a quick stop to what I'm doing. I don't want to be an old man, not be able to put sentences together talking to my daughters, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, God, you look at some of the wrestlers from years ago and how they aged. You guys now have it far better, I would think.
I don't want to point fingers, but, like, you know, they just didn't know. You know, we're literally being educated on this stuff. You know, the old suck it up and get back in there is just, like, the worst possible advice. Because, you know, a concussion on top of a concussion is what we've learned is, like, epically bad, where you really do need to take your rest when that situation occurs.
And when you say you speak to these people about concussions or preventative measures, are they telling you things that you shouldn't do in the ring to prevent this? Or it's just like, if you feel this, you got to stop. What is that conversation like?
It's kind of all of the above. This guy, Chris Nowinski, he was a wrestler back in the day. He's kind of taking it upon himself, and he goes around and he's got a extensive PowerPoint presentation he does every year. And it's like, I always tell people, man, you know, it starts out like any other, you know, meeting a bunch of wrestlers in a room or messing around, you know, joking. And then by the end, it's pin drop quiet because, like, the information that's just hit you is pretty serious where you're like, okay, I do need to take this, you know, pretty seriously.
How many years? We'll talk about Brian Myers in studio here, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get you calls in 888-808-109. You want to talk wrestling? You want to talk Mets? We'll get to the Mets with Brian in just a little bit. How many years has it been since you've been out of the WWE?
2020. Like, fired.
Oh, that's right.
I can't even tell you how many people got fired in that same day, yeah.
And since then, you've built up your own podcast. Well, not your own, but you and Matt Cardona.
Right.
Broski, I almost called him. You and Matt Cardona.
Again, some of his closest friends in the world go on that. Yeah. I mean, it's not you know, not a dig.
So you build up the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, which is still going strong all these years later.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable.
And you've been wrestling independently all these years as well.
Yep, as well as literally with TNA from day one, too. I mean, Tommy Dreamer, who's still very much in charge of TNA, he called me the first week I was like, from WWE, and pitched me about coming to TNA. And it was like, I was pretty, upset about being, let go from WWE. It was shocking, especially in the pandemic when that was such a, what is this? What's happening in the world type of thing. But what a blessing in disguise,
Was that the last time I saw you, by the way, when we went to the Met game with Dreamer? Or maybe we did the Jet game after that, I think. I think the Rogers.
Jet game was next, yeah. Man, I don't want to talk. Let's not talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets today. That's the one thing we don't need. I went to the game the year before, the 9/11 game.
I know.
Which was like most bizarre sports experience of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
You're all pumped up to go see Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
I was like with my good college buddy. We had great seats. We just saw like a fist fight in the concourse. Where our adrenaline's pumping. I bought an Aaron Rodgers shirt at the gift shop, and then that was it.
you're a huge, because it just made me think of MetLife, where at MetLife when you won the tag titles with Cardona,
yep,
you wore green and
yep,
and white.
Yep.
Because of the Jets.
Of course, yeah.
And how'd that go over? Have you told that story publicly about how you
maybe some people, I don't know if I've said it like public, but long story. Well, this is a long story, short, but I can't make it short.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks before WrestleMania, we're assuming we're in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is like a hey, we don't really have anything of significance for you, but here's a nice little thing where you can participate in WrestleMania, which, trust me, I've been on the flip side of that where you do nothing, and that's terrible. It'd be in whatever town for a week, and you don't even put your wrestling gear on. So it was a nice thing. So I was looking forward to it, especially in MetLife. So I always wore orange and blue, literally for the 5 years I was back in WWE. I never didn't wear orange and blue the whole time. It was my signature thing. It was a little shout-out to the Mets, New York sports. So for this one night, I was going to wear, green and white. I had awesome Jets gear designed, whatever. A month prior to the show, we check in the office. That's where they give you your itinerary, your appearances, what's going on. So the office guy says, hey, Vince McMahon wants to see everyone's outfits for WrestleMania to approve them. And I'm thinking, there's no way he cares what Curt Hawkins is wearing at WrestleMania. That's the last thing in this guy's mind.
Right.
And I just got the awesome artwork, what it's going to look like. I had it right there in an email. I forwarded it, thought nothing of it. 3 weeks later, I come in. They're like, oh, by the way, Vince said you can't wear that. I'm like, wait, what? But now I'm like, I'm so low in the totem pole here. To get someone to make gear for WrestleMania, especially when all gear makers are making people's WrestleMania stuff, next to impossible. So now I'm just screwed out of even having anything. I'm like, there's no way. Like, I was on top of this. I was devastated. So really, Matt and I went to Vince to pitch something about being in the Battle Royal. But I don't even care about that anymore. Now I'm like, I just got to get this gear. I want to wear this gear. This is all I care about. So we half-heartedly pitched this thing about what we wanted to do in the Andre or whatever. He barely listened. And on the way out, and he said, anything else? I said, yeah. I said, I can't wear this gear. I said, why not? And he was like, yeah, I didn't like it. I said, well, you understand the significance? He goes, well, let me guess. The New York Jets. And I was shocked that he even hit me back with that. So I'm like, oh, crap. So now I'm like, yeah. I said, WWE's biggest underdog. The NFL's biggest underdog. It's a match made in heaven. My hometown. And then he goes, oh, God damn it, Hawkins, wear the gear. And I just go, yeah, in his face. And I hugged and grabbed him. I mean, Matt's just standing there watching the whole thing, just eyes wide open. Like, what on earth did I just witness? But I got my way.
I love that
story. And then the crazy part is, I think that got his wheels turning, and he put us in the tag title match.
And you won the tag titles.
We won the tag titles. Like, I don't even think we were on his radar whatsoever in any capacity, but because I gave him that spirited speech about me being the Jets of the WWE, it's crazy how things work out.
I love that story. It's fascinating. I think most wrestling fans can. It takes you behind the curtain a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
On some insight into how it works. Now, what are you doing this Sunday night? You're wrestling in your faction, or what do you got going?
Yeah. I can't tell you exactly.
Oh, okay.
It's going to play out this Thursday on TNA Impact Television.
Okay.
Impact Plus,
so there's
Access
no,
TV.
I'm trying to look at the card here for Slammiversary. Do we have a card right now? I see the Nemeths are involved here, the Hardys.
Oh, it's TNA, guys. TNA is stacked. I know it sometimes people, gets that LOL TNA kind of stigma from internet fans, wherever, but it's not people who are currently watching it, because people who are currently watching it know. Our roster is loaded with, talent A to Z. The Hardy Boys are going to be in an epic ladder match. I mean, Nick Nemeth, who was Dolph Ziggler in WWE, he was one of the most talented wrestlers who's ever lived. He's there. I mean, it's loaded. We have guys from NXT, which is, there's a WWE partnership going on. So we have Trick Williams, who actually won the TNA championship. He'll be there defending it. Joe Henry, who's epically blown up, amongst wrestling fans, is such a huge deal. So it's going to be a really, really incredible event, and I encourage people to, you know, come on out.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brian Myers in studio here. One thing that always fascinated me about you and others, like I've had Michael Cole on. I interviewed him maybe a year ago last summer, and he's a diehard Mets fan. Yep. I don't know how you guys do it. Like, even this weekend for you, you're a big Mets fan, and I know you'd love to be at the David Wright retirement game,
right,
but you can't because you got obligations for your job wrestling all over the place.
That's just one of those things that goes hand in hand with being a wrestler, right? Like, I've missed, you know, friends' weddings and birthdays and things that just kind of my poor wife, I think we've celebrated our anniversary on the actual day like once in 10 years. It just kind of is what it is, you know. You just kind of roll with the punches, and I kind of over make up for it with things with, you know, as my kids especially, you know, I come home, you know, I never come home empty-handed when I feel, you know, guilty that I've missed something or whatever. But that's just, you can't, I always say you can't be a successful wrestler and not leave your town.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
Well, all right, so we talked about it earlier about the concussions and the information that current wrestlers have versus what they did. How about the travel? Is it, I mean, from what I know, again, I didn't do it. You know it, and you know all these guys who did it before you and do it now. How is the travel arrangements or schedule in comparison to what it was back in the 80s?
Well, that's like, you can't even compare because those guys were going like 60 days on, 10 days off or something. That's why they all went nuts, you know?
Yeah,
so,
right.
Thank God that's not what I'm experiencing. But that said, travel is obviously difficult on anybody.
Give me a normal week for you.
I went to a charity event with my wife and friends Friday night. I flew the crack of dawn Saturday to Dallas. I did an autograph signing in Dallas. Then I went to All In at Globe Life Field.
Right.
Saw a couple of my students that wrestled for AEW there.
You just went like as a fan?
Yeah, I mean, the guy who ran the convention had sweet tickets. I wasn't going to turn that down to see my, you know. And plus, I wanted to see the field. I'd never been there. So saw my students perform there. Flew back home Sunday morning. Went straight out to meet David Wright at a signing. So I did a signing on Saturday. Then I attended a signing on Sunday, which is pretty typical of me if people know me and my fandom.
I saw the pictures you posted. I was like, wait, this is last night. We were texting before you were ready to come in. I'm like, wait a minute, you're meeting David Wright yesterday?
I couldn't turn it down.
So how did that go? That was your first time meeting, right?
Yeah, actually, I'd never met him. My buddy of mine runs a company called Coaches Collectibles. They do awesome signings. He's having Pete Alonso in soon. I'll check it out. He's got an Instagram page. And I just knew we could, you know, get a little special treatment, you know, cut the line. I got like, you know, 15, 20 minutes with him. He couldn't have been cooler, man.
Is he a wrestling fan, David?
So it's funny. I can't, you know, I meet so many people and like acquaintances, and somebody said they met Wright and that he wasn't really a wrestling fan, but he would watch Total Divas with his wife.
Oh,
and I remembered, I can't even remember who told me that, but I remember that. And I said, hey, man, is this true? And he goes, yeah. And we, dude, it was like, it was so cool. I mean, we had like, he probably asked me more questions about wrestling than I did him about baseball. I was like, he just couldn't have been cooler, man. What a great experience, to be honest with you.
And one of your best friends, TJ, right, was featured on
Tyson Kidd's one of my best friends.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. On Total Divas, because I remember watching that.
Yeah.
And even I got a kick out. I was were in the fantasy league. Is he still in the fantasy league, the football fantasy
league?
Yeah,
definitely.
Together?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, to take him down in that one, too.
And Tommy Dreamer.
So you and I have met. Who's your favorite? Because I was thinking about this, Bri, like, in my, not until I watched this, the SNY, I got to see an early screening of The Right Way, which is going to premiere Thursday night. Not until I watched that did I really sit back and say, man, this guy, like his number going up, he's going to be the greatest Met outside of Seaver to be up there. You and I both huge Piazza fans.
Of course.
Where were you at with Wright versus Piazza in your fandom?
Well, Piazza's more, I was more impressionable because I was little.
Okay.
So I think that always weighs out. But obviously, David Wright, you have to give him his due. I mean, he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I mean, lifetime Met, how about kept his nose clean and never gotten an ounce of trouble in New York City, which is like, you know, very hard for athletes. I mean, just a classy ball player. Like he deserves to be celebrated, right?
Right. So not until I saw this that I really fully, truly appreciate it. And I would go, I agree with you where as, you know, when Wright came aboard, I was a little bit older and starting to become more of the adult fan versus the young kid. And maybe that's why I didn't have the enough appreciation for him. But I think when you encompass everything, homegrown Met, great attitude, leader and captain, like, I'm not trying to knock Piazza, and both you and I have hung out with Piazza at that special thing. So
we're dropping all the names today, huh?
I mean, but it did happen. I mean, I got the invite to that thing.
We just got to drink vodka with Mike Piazza for an hour. That's pretty cool.
Once I got the invite, you were the first person I called and said, hey, you want to come with me here? It's on Long Island. I know how much you love him. And it was great. We get to hang with Piazza. I've since talked to him a bunch of times there, but he wasn't the captain that David Wright was.
Right.
You know, Wright just, and I know Piazza played in the World Series as well. Wright being homegrown, I usually don't value that, but I think in this case,
I think homegrown things, you know, I always hear on this very show, try to get away from it, but I think it does matter. I can't really say why, but it just does. You know?
You're more into the homegrown thing?
I think it does. It does. It should be listed as something to be, you know.
Yeah, well, it definitely helps. Whereas,
like if Jeter wasn't homegrown, I don't think he'd be looked at nearly the same.
Maybe the way with A-Rod. Or Piazza coming from the Dodgers. Half his time with the Dodgers, half his time with the Mets. So Wright was really the one guy. And it's a must-watch show because you get to feel the roller coaster of emotions with him culminating in the 2015 World Series.
And I know who's in it. Super Joe McEwing.
Oh, God. That's one thing where we always disagree. You love Joe McEwing.
I got that picture with me and DW yesterday. I texted right to Super Joe.
You loved him. What did he say to it?
Just he's the man. He goes, my guys, that's incredible. So he was happy that we were able to connect, you know?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And then what you love Joe McEwing so for? You and all the Met fans, I never get it. Like, he was...
You gotta admire the hustle, you know, the willingness to, like, you know, put me in coach, man. I'll play any freaking position like that. It was just...
You know why he had to have that?
And then those games with Randy Johnson where he just owned him.
That I get.
Added to, like, the legendary status, I'd say.
Yeah, I get the Randy Johnson stuff he owned him, but it's like... Joe McEwing. Met fans love Joe McEwing and then rip Carlos Beltran, which to me makes no sense. Beltran's a Hall of Famer.
I hear you. It's like, but there's also, I don't know, it's just like, it's fun to be a Joe McEwing fan. Same as like, it's fun to be a Bartolo Colon fan, right? Yeah. You know, it's the same kind of, they made it fun to watch the games.
Who was, if you could give me the Met fan or the Met player that you met that you were excited to meet, but was just as excited to meet you and into the wrestling?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Not really. I don't think I've really...
I remember you saying you were friends with Wheeler. I don't know if
I befriended Wheeler, but he wasn't like a wrestling fan. He just knew I was a wrestler, and we connected over that. And Justin Turner I met, you know, which broke my heart because I was like becoming buddies with him, and then Mets let him go for nothing, and he became a megastar. That one stings. So I don't think we talk about that enough, how much that stings, that, you know.
I like Justin Turner as a player. He was a good dude, too,
awesome,
and a good player.
Great
and
guy.
I don't know if it was going to work here. Well, forget about even just the Mets then. Have you ever had athletes be fans of yours? And you're like, oh, that's great, whatever. Well, Kittle, whoever it may be.
My favorite right now is Turk Wendell because I met him. I was doing an appearance with WWE at City, and I was doing it so much that, you know, they always give you the jersey.
Yeah.
So every time I was changing the number... Just so I kind of had some way to remember the day. So I'd always change it to my favorite player. So 99, I got Turk. And I always think that's funny to be like the real 99 New York, Turk Wendell, not Judge. It's a good way to really irritate a Yankee fan. And I was down on the field, and the PR guy's like, why'd you pick 99? I said, Turk Wendell, he's the man. He goes, he's up in the booth. You want to meet him? I go, yes. And then, like, I mean, we instantly just, you know, exchanged numbers and hit off. And then I brought him in to one of my shows, and he managed me. And it was unbelievable. I had him throw a bucket of balls at my buddies in a tag match.
Oh,
I mean, like, it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. Only sad news is I asked him to wear the necklace, and he said it deteriorated and broke. So the necklace doesn't exist anymore, guys, for those of you wondering.
What was it? The tooth? Shark tooth.
Yeah, he said, everyone always said it was a shark tooth, but it was actually like a collection of animal teeth, not just shark teeth. Yeah, he's a big-time hunter.
We saw him at the QVC this most recent year.
Yes.
Yeah. Good dude. All right, BT, it's Al on the Fan. We're in studio with Brian Myers right now of TNA. You got the event coming up, Slammiversary, this Sunday at UBS Arena. We'll come back, take some of your calls, talk some more Mets, and some more wrestling stuff, like behind-the-scenes stuff that I'm interested in. Also, Hoff has an issue with Brian that he said to me before that I figured we'd bring up on the air. Producer Hoff calling out Brian for something. I'll bring that to the air as I normally do. We'll do that when we come back. Well, you used to be a good baseball player, right? You said,
nah, that's going a little too far. And my buddy's listening to this, won't let me.
Why BT gets away with it all the time.
Imagine that. I mean, yeah, good one.
You went to Marist.
I love baseball, still do, but I was never that gifted at it. My buddies were exceptional, so it made it exceptionally hard for me. But, so I'm going to dust off the old whip, and we have a charity softball game at Kowloon High School on Saturday. And it's a fundraiser for, I live in Merrick, so it's for the town I live in, Merrick Belmore Little League, for the parents against the TNA roster. And we're talking everybody, the Hardy Boys, Trick Williams, Nick Nemeth. I mean, it's going to be a big deal.
That's pretty cool. Is Nick a good player? I felt like he was an athlete somewhere.
Nick is a very accomplished amateur wrestler and college wrestler, so I'd like to think some of that will transfer over, but you just never know with baseball.
He's a big Browns fan, right?
A huge Browns fan, yeah.
So, all right, give me some of the other wrestlers who were big. Like, you guys behind the scenes talk a lot of sports.
Oh, yeah.
Like, give me some. Oddly enough, your best friend, Cardona, doesn't know anything about sports.
Couldn't name one New York sport athlete. I promise you, not one. Maybe, okay, you know what? Maybe he could say Aaron Judge. After
you think
that,
so?
I think nothing.
You think he could even name Judge?
I don't think he can name one person.
Just does not care.
He rode the elevator one time, MSG, with Jeter. And then he told us after, and we were like, what? And he thought nothing of it. Like he could have cared less.
Yeah, he knows Michael Jordan. That's
but if it was like the guy that voiced Raphael in the Ninja Turtles cartoon, he'd be freaking out. You know?
Right, but sports has no idea. Yeah. And the Fink, who I became friendly with a little bit, the late Fink, he was a big Mets fan.
Diehard Mets guy. I mean, he was the best in many ways, but that we really bonded over our Met fandom. And I actually saw him at games so many times, you know.
But a lot of the guys do behind the scenes in the locker room talk sports.
Oh, yeah, of course. Actually, in the TNA now, we got a big basketball crew. You know, my tag partner, Eddie Edwards, is a diehard Celtics fan. Moose is this pathetic fan of whatever team Russell Westbrook is on. Is what team he's a fan of. Is that bizarre?
Yeah, that's lame. Hey, so. It might be the Knicks soon. Oh, by the way, so I didn't know that you were as into the Knicks. Maybe you got more into them because they become good.
Yeah.
But now you're as into as anybody. What are you thinking of there? What'd you think of Tibbs getting fired?
I was crushed. I didn't understand it. I was hoping there was a plan. It didn't seem like there was now that this is all played out. But I still think, you know, the core of the team is pretty epic. So, we're hoping for the best for the future, right? And Brunson, man, I got to give him his due. He's my favorite New York athlete, I think, since Piazza.
You see him and Halliburton went into the ring, a year ago or something?
Yeah,
that's got to make you excited, too.
Especially because Halliburton's my least favorite athlete in many years. So
I hate Halliburton. All right, before we could get in some calls here, 888-808-1019, and plenty of other things I want to hit. We're talking with Brian Myers in studio. So Hoff, you've never met Hoff before. You met Positive Tommy. We've seen him
last
before
year in the playoffs.
Game.
Yeah, hanging out. Yeah,
yeah. I got to get you guys over for football Sunday now that I'm not on Long Island anymore.
I'm the one doing the trek.
But you're okay to come out to Jersey one of these days?
Yeah, I'll make Raleigh Allen designated drive me at your house.
Yeah. Maybe we get Positive Tommy out there at Hoff. Anyway, so Hoff goes. It's amazing to me. He comes in. You know, after you're sitting in the green room, he's like, "Man, it's amazing these big, strong wrestling guys and their fanny packs." So he had an issue with your Mets fanny pack that you have here. Hoff,
this is a 7-line Mets fanny pack, by the way.
All right. So
it's gorgeous, by the way. Man, but I don't get it. Like, I'm a huge Joe Rogan fan, too.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing I see him when he does the introductions for all these pay-per-view UFC fights, he's got his fanny pack wrapped around his waist. I'm like, dude, what's going on here?
Okay, well, here's my excuse for this. I was never a fanny pack guy. Actually, I have a fanny pack, but it's only in my merch bag for when I'm seling merchandise and doing gimmicks at shows and stuff, and I need a place to put a ton of cash.
So you sell it and you put
that makes sense. So last year I tore my pec and I was going to physical therapy every morning, and it was springtime. I didn't have a big winter jacket on or anything, so I was wearing clothes that I needed to do physical activity and get all sweaty, so I didn't have stuff for my stuff. So I dug out a fanny pack that I had and I was putting everything in it, and then I just never went back. It's been a year and a half now.
Now, question.
That's a true story.
It's wild, man.
He also wears it like my wife. He does the cross body. You do the cross body.
I don't want it bumping into my, when I'm walking around. So the cross body is the way to go for me. I feel safer, especially walking around New York City. I got this right on my chest.
Right. Nobody's going to mess with it. See, that's the other thing. You can pull it off because you're big and strong and muscular. I feel like you could pull it off. Whereas if I were wearing that, or Hoff wearing that, even though he's big.
I think around the waist is the tough one to pull off. I think if you do crossbody.
All right. I don't know if I could ever pull that off.
So wait a second. So if you saw Joe Rogan, you tell him, hey, man, you should switch that to the crossbody.
Yeah, I would prefer that, but Joe Rogan can do whatever he wants.
Do you remember the time where I was in the ring at Creator Pro?
Yes, I'll never forget it.
Me and Moose.
Yeah.
You had me and Moose.
Two impressive athletes, let me tell you. Holy smokes.
So you also have a school that you train wrestlers in. Like you were saying before, a lot of wrestlers come on to be famous in AEW and so on, WWE as well.
Creator Pro Wrestling Academy, Hicksville, New York. Yeah, we 11 years now. It's crazy.
So you're still doing that in addition to your regular schedule, TNA and all that
stuff? At least, if schedule permitting, I teach once a week. Still there, yeah.
You get good gratification out of that?
I do, and it wasn't something that I ever expected, I just kind of, I honestly opened the school out of boredom in my first run with WWE when they weren't booking me as much, and I just really had nothing going on.
Right.
And it was just another crazy blessing in disguise, and the satisfaction that I get from it, something that I love and I'm so passionate about, and I'm giving all those secrets and knowledge to others, it's pretty cool. Especially when I see in their eyes that they care too,
Do you think that I could beat BT in a match in the ring with the proper training?
No. I never met BT, but I'm thinking he's a little more svelte.
Yeah, but he's also his back.
He pulls his hamstring very easily.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, svelte meaning what? In better shape?
He's a little more tight than you, I think.
Yeah,
right?
It is true. Okay. Now, I used to be in much better shape. Unfortunately, I've kind of let myself go a little bit here over the last few years. His damn schedule. It's killing me.
I was going to say, when do you stop? And you go straight here to SNY, you just talk about sports 24-7.
Dude, that's the thing. Since I moved to Jersey and had the midday show, I just haven't had time for the gym. But I'll get back to it. But I think I'm a little
home
more nimble.
Gym. You need a home gym.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole other issue there. And even that, I still have to get up at 6 in the morning.
Like, what time are you going to the gym? No, I have a home gym, and it's still a nightmare.
What time do you usually work out?
I'm not a morning person. Like, I need, like, 2 cups of coffee before I can even answer a sentence. Okay. You know, so always midday or late.
But being svelte, fat guys have won in wrestling before. Why?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all answer. Right. I'm just guessing. Okay. I had to guess. He had a splendid college baseball career, right? So.
What about Hoff and BT? Hoff's a pretty big guy.
Hoff's a big guy, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to do some lifting.
I could teach you some of like Yokozuna's offense and you could, you know.
Yeah, I got a big backside. Oh, actually, I have no backside, but I would try to do the backside.
The best from that was Moose in the ring, which is
Moose
just,
was.
It was so much fun.
I also remember he was wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt. couldn't have looked more like a putz, and he just like. It was wild.
Both of you were killing both Moose and I. It was great. BT and Sal, all the fam. Brian Myers in studio. Matt is calling from New York. What's up, Matt?
What's up? Brian, you should remember me. I was your math teacher.
Oh, Mr. Feinstein.
Cool. Yes.
What's up, man? How are you?
How are you?
Great to hear from
you. Very good. Yeah, it's good to see how well you're doing. I couldn't believe you said you were 40. How long ago I had you?
Oh, geez.
And I'm also glad you didn't go into math.
Hey, I hate to break it to you. I'm still terrible at math.
Yeah, I So,
because we spent more time talking Mets than math. Yeah, so, right. But,
I know we did. You know, so we need a lefty in the bullpen. You saw that last week.
Brooks Raley is coming back there, Matt. And thank you for the call. Brooks Raley should be coming. See, I thought you taught him. At Creator Pro, when it said online.
No, that was my math teacher.
That was your math teacher. There
this
you go.
This is a terrible story to tell, but me and my buddy Danny Marks, we had a fake IDs. This is very 90s of us, right?
Right.
And we saw him at a game. We're like, let's go buy Mr. Feinstein a beer. And the guy sold us a beer, and we walked it to him and gave it to him. Like, yeah.
Cool teacher.
The man. But like I said, I'm terrible at math, and all we talked was maths, which I loved, of course. Yeah.
Those are the teachers that I remember, the ones that I talked sports with as opposed
honestly,
to what they
yes.
taught me.
Yeah.
So Brooks Raley will be coming back. How do you feel about this Mets team right now in comparison to last year? Last year had the vibes high, the whole grimace nonsense stuff. But
which you can't replicate, right? I just wish there was something to get excited about the trade deadline, and I just think the way the wild card is set up these days, you know, you're not going to get your Cespedes to, like, explode things. You know, that's the scary part. You know, Cedric Mullins isn't really going to light the world on fire for us, so I don't know what the answer is. You know, it's hoping we have healthy guys, you know.
But you liked last year's team better or this year?
That was so much fun, the vibes, right? Like, you can't even put a price on it. It's like one of my favorite seasons ever.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this team, I think, is better, though, this year.
Probably on paper, right? Yeah. But this is like, you can't replicate the way the amount of fun they made it to be a Mets fan.
Right.
That's half the battle, right?
Yeah.
Where you're not miserable.
Well, but I'd rather have the higher expectations, even if it means falling short. Like, I wanted Soto. I don't care. I want the vibes. Yeah, the grimace vibes were nice and the OMG stuff. That was fun, but they barely made the playoffs.
Right.
Then, of course, went on the run. You were saying that Lindor game was the best game you've ever been at.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible.
Right? The Grand Slam
amazing.
Playoff game.
Oh, man. It was my wedding anniversary, and I had won the tickets, but there's no date yet. So, of course, they win. They clinch, and then becomes that. I go, oh boy. So of course my wife is the best, and I said, hey, how do you feel about spending our anniversary at the best playoff game? And like, she's the ultimate trooper. I love her, and we had the best time.
Where are you at with Soto?
I was a big Soto advocate. You know, to get a guy that young, that much of a superstar, like, you got to do what Uncle Stevie did and go all out and get him. Like, when does that opportunity present itself in sports? You know,
getting him away from the Yankees,
did the right
as well.
thing. I mean, that's bittersweet and awesome too. And I think kind of the way it's played out is how I saw, like, where, you know, he wasn't Soto-esque to start.
Yeah.
But the other guys in the team were kind of playing, you know, over their head, and then it kind of switched.
Alonso.
I knew that was going to come.
Are you one of these Mets fans that can't live without Alonso, like, if he decides to move on?
I'd rather have Pete than not.
Yeah.
And I think it's about, like, what we talked about earlier in the show. Like,
the
homegrown, like, I want him to become the all-time, you know, home run Met King, and that's on the horizon.
Six or seven
he's
away.
He's very close, yeah.
Yeah, he is 6 home runs. We'll break the record. It just made me think of it. Pete's got like a body for a wrestler, no? I know maybe he's not svelte, but he could be like a big...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like he seems like a battle royal type guy.
Battle royal winner? That's why they took us out of the Andre, because Pete was going to win it.
Yeah, exactly. Mark is in Marlboro. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Kurt, Brian, I just want to tell you that it's funny... I watch your show on the YouTube channel with the action figure collecting. And because of that, I actually restarted my collecting. I restarted collecting action figures because of you and Brian, you and Matt Cardona's show.
Thanks, man. That's awesome to hear. We get that a lot, and that's like the most proud thing, if that makes any sense, of a compliment that we can get. You know, people say it all the time. You know, Matt and I are these perceivably big, tough wrestlers, and we've come out of our toy collecting closet, and I think it's made people a lot more comfortable with the nerdiness of collecting action figures. Actually, speaking of which, I have a present for you, Sal.
Oh, okay. There is a negative connotation that comes along with collecting, which I don't like.
Yeah, I always say, like, you know, The 4-Year-Old Virgin was a movie where this guy, like, couldn't have sex because he collected toys. All right. Think we've broke that stigma, right? 20 years later, like,
look at this.
Look at that.
The Big Rubber Guys, which is the toy line that you and Matt created on your own.
So our podcast has spiraled into a toy business.
This is sick, dude. Thank you.
Where we recreate the WWF Big Rubber Guys, if you will, of the 80s. So,
see, the problem is now you're going to get me itchy for the other ones.
I got the hookup, whatever you need.
Yeah, I actually might. I might need to go back and start getting some of these other ones here. Yeah. But this is the Macho King, Randy Savage.
Take it out. Play with it.
No,
it
I'm not taking it out.
It's a resealable packaging.
Right, yeah, okay, take it out. Either way, you guys have done a great line creating your own toys. Collecting does have a negative connotation. I bet a lot of the people listening
I think we've done our job to break that stigma. You know, guys like Gary V, I think, have done that.
Yeah, huge,
you know?
Right.
Even like what Tom Brady's doing with Fanatics.
The Fanatics, you know? Fest, that was a big thing. Are you big into the cards?
Diehard, huge.
Okay, yeah. And then we pulled, what's his name? Ruben came in here for Fanatics Fest.
Okay.
Gave us a couple of packs. BT pulled a David Wright auto.
Oh, that's sweet.
And wouldn't give it up to I'm the Met fan or Hoff's the Met
who
fan.
Who got it then?
Yeah, well, he took it home. I think he wanted to sell it. I'm like, dude, come
jeez.
On. I was going to trade him an unopened box. They brought him a couple of boxes, so his open with the right. Yeah.
I would have been able to cherry pick that stuff and let you know what, you know, the good stuff is.
And give the thing to Hoff. But anyway, this is sick here. But yeah, dude, I can't even get this
You could reseal
out of time.
That?
Yeah, so obviously the Big Rubber Guys are meant for adult collectors.
This is sick.
So that's a Macho King.
So this is the one, though, where if you had the big rubber wrestlers back in the day.
WWF LJNs are the toys of the 80s that everyone our age would remember.
Right, and then you guys made a line, so basically
this is like a love letter to what could have been, right?
And filling in the blanks that they didn't do back then.
Totally.
So it's such nostalgia. I love it. It's actually my favorite. Right. I kind of had you guys got me out of control listening to that podcast. It's going nuts.
It's the most expensive free podcast in the world.
Who came up with that line?
A fan wrote that in one time. And we go, you hit that one on the head.
That was me. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, thank you. This is serious.
Available
awesome.
At collectmajor.com.
Yeah, I'm going to look at the back now, the checklist. And I got to go get some of that Bad News Brown. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Brian Myers in studio here. We'll talk some Mets. We can talk some Jets, Knicks, and some wrestling. Whatever's on your mind, close out the show when we come back. 888-808-1019. Slammiversary coming up for TNA this Sunday night at UBS Arena. Of course, some of you may know him as Curt Hawkins, formerly of the WWE. We get some great stories before about WrestleMania and the MetLife. What WrestleMania was that, 35?
35.
Man, 35. Where are they at now? Do you have any idea? I don't even know.
Oh, man, well,
they stopped counting, right?
No,
because now it's just like WrestleMania.
They never really like to say after. I feel like after 20, they stop saying what it was, right?
Yeah, it's hard, though, to keep track for moments like this. Yeah. But in case you missed that, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Big Met fan, big Jeff fan, big Nick fan. Where are you at with the Jets? You like the Aaron Glenn hire?
I got so gaslit by the Aaron Rodgers years that I'm just trying to take it easy and just, you know, go with the flow. Hope for the best, right?
I respect it.
Right? I think it's going to be better, obviously.
All right.
But I'm not trying to get too pumped up.
Are you a Justin Fields guy?
I'm interested to see what he can do.
Yeah.
You know, I see both sides of the coin where people are like, he's had a couple chances, he stinks. Or there's like, he hasn't had a chance, let's see what he can do. You know, which side is it? I don't know.
A quarterback that can't throw the football, usually it can be an issue.
Right.
I think right.
Again, like I said, I'm trying not to get too excited.
Well, BT's the opposite. He did a whole unkillable.
Oh,
Rodgers goes down, he comes on the air the next day, we're unkillable. And then eventually Zach Wilson killed him, and then he regenerated in the last year. And now it's like, I love Aaron Glenn and Fields. I do get the sense of just a breath of fresh air, and that like if there's a fresh start, there's intrigue. Yeah. Right, let's see what the new
fresh
head coach
coat of paint on this thing.
Yeah,
but
exactly right.
I'll take that over what it was because it was a nightmare. But I mean, every year I try not to get too excited, and then like I'll watch like Hard Knocks or something, and then it just builds, right? You know, the anticipation for football season.
If you could have one of your teams win it all, which one would it be? Tough call now with the Mets, Knicks, and Jets.
That's a tough call, but I think it would have to be the Mets.
just because you've never seen it. You were born after 86?
I was
86?
One in 86. Okay. I don't count that.
Okay.
Right.
You can't count that.
I want to experience it. Right. You know? I want my dad and my brother and my family. I want everyone to experience it.
All right? Mets fans, your family?
Yes, yeah.
What about same thing, Jets and Knicks?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you think it would mean the same to them for the Mets or the other teams as well?
I think I'm the more diehard fan, period, in the family.
Okay.
But I think it would be mean. It's just, it's one of those, you know, I watched, like, the Rangers a couple of years ago and all those clips of people, like, on Instagram, like, generations of fans and experiencing with their, you know, grandpa or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. That's what sports is all about, right?
Yeah. Well, right. Connecting the generations and all that stuff. All right. We'll get back to the calls here. One quick question. I brought this up before. I don't know if you heard it. You're probably commuting in, so maybe you didn't. Now that I'm in Jersey, you know, I moved off Long Island, the traffic, whatever.
You're a sellout. We know.
I need to sell out, but I love it. I love Jersey. I was out in the backyard the other day and I saw a snake.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you're a big, strong man.
Right.
I am an unsvelte, you know, fat boy who's afraid of these things. Mm-hmm. What would you do if you saw a snake in the backyard?
Oddly, snakes, spiders, I don't care about.
You know, really?
I hate, like, raccoons and rats.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Possum. I had a run-in with a possum a couple of years ago in my garage.
What'd you do there?
Woo! It was terrifying.
He was in the garage?
Yeah.
And you saw him and what?
I had, like, a reusable bag of big rubber guys that I was waiting to get autographed by somebody, and I went to grab them, and I, like, touched it, and it felt like a toupee, like, on the top. And it was funny. It was, like, the week of Halloween. So I took a pause, and I was like, are my kids and my wife playing a trick on me or something?
Right, what the hell is that?
And then I stood there, and I had a stare down, and I just saw his little belly breathing. He was belly up, just taking a nap on top of the big rubber guys.
Oh, my God.
So then I went, and I got this ball out of my shed, and I, like, threw a Roger Clemens, like, fastball at it. Nothing.
What was that going to do exactly?
Well, he was playing possum, I realized. So he didn't do a thing. I couldn't believe it.
Playing possum monsoon?
Yeah.
So he's playing possum, and then what would you call
it? Then I finally got, like, a giant broomstick, and I got the handles of the bag, and I carried it out like a hobo, you know, hitching a ride, and I threw it into my driveway, and then he finally, like, sauntered off.
See?
I was skeeved out. Oh, I touched it. I pet it, basically.
Have you ever had, like, Jake the Snake put the snake on you in the ring or anything?
No. You know, I do feel bad. When I started on the road, every night, Matt Stryker, who's a local guy, a big baseball fan, he would take the worms from Boogeyman, and I would think, man, that's a pretty degrading spot. I mean, every night, real big handful of worms in his mouth.
Oh.
You know, every town we were in, I was like, oof.
Would you have done that?
I would have, you know, if it called for it, but thank God I didn't have to.
I know, but that's not like, there is a certain point. It's like, yeah, I love wrestling. It's my dream, and I'll do whatever it takes to get here, but I don't mess with worms.
It's like, you know, doing your job and how degrading do you want it to be? Yeah. It's a fine line.
I mean, it is part. Somebody's got to take the worms.
Yeah, somebody's got to take the snake. Plenty of people did, and plenty of people took the snake. I mean, it was part of the game.
Macho, as a matter of fact, took that snake. Venomous bite.
The bite. That scarred me as a child.
Was there a moment that you remember as a kid growing up that stuck out to you more than most?
Papa Shango putting a spell on Ultimate Warrior where he puked.
Yeah.
The all-time, like, when I was a kid, like, what's happening? Yeah, that was, like, the main one.
That was
my older
92?
Brother never really let me believe wrestling was real because he's older than me. And he was like, you know, it's fake, right? No, it's fake. You know, I'm just trying to mark out a little bit, you know, but he wouldn't let me.
You ever get him in the ring now and be like, oh, yeah, is this fake?
I'd beat him pillow to post. Yeah. He's an art teacher. We're not the same in that sense.
Matt is calling from New Jersey. Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
This is strange. I just got a call from my friend who works in animal control. And he said, here, call this number. You know, they have a snake issue. I'm a snake guy. Like, anytime they have a snake, the animal control people, they call me and I come and I pick it up and stuff. So I thought I was calling you guys. I thought I was excited. I thought you had the snake and I was going to see if I can come get it. But it seems like you just seen it and it's gone now.
No,
right?
I don't know. I mean, you tell me, Matt, it still might be there. It's slithered under the pool shed in the back.
Oh, boy.
Really? Like, what color was it?
Black. It was like black and yellow.
Yeah, it's a black racer.
Is that bad?
I was told it was a garter snake.
It's not like a venomous snake, but like, you said it might be a garden snake?
A garter snake, yeah. Now, you like these things? You get involved with snakes?
Oh, yeah, I have snakes. I have snakes, I have tarantulas, I have all that stuff.
Like living in your house? How do you sleep? Aren't you afraid one might get loose?
One did get loose. One of my tarantulas, a huge one. And my sister woke me up and was like, Matt, look on the ceiling. And I look on the ceiling, and it was one of the tarantulas that got loose like 2 weeks ago, and I couldn't find it anywhere in the house.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It was just on her ceiling looking down at her.
Yeah, God, Matt, what's wrong with you? And thank you for the call. Can you imagine that?
I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd move out.
Yeah.
For sale.
I almost felt like that with a stupid snake in the backyard. Burn it down. I'm out of here. Good God, a tarantula? Doesn't Raleigh, our buddy Raleigh, have snakes, doesn't he?
Does he?
I feel like he is a snake guy.
He's a cat guy, which is whatever, strange as it is.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't mess with those snakes around. All right, anyway, I mean, we run the gamut here.
Not my thing. Yeah.
Last one for you, and we got about a minute in the show. How do you keep up with, because you've got so many friends, whether it's growing up in the WWE or whatever, you know, working your way up through the minor league system there, then becoming a professional, then going to different companies, now with the podcast and the figure stuff, or all the different walks of life that you meet different celebrities and athletes. How do you keep up with the group chats and all these contacts?
It's a nightmare. Me and my wife have this thing, like, if we do something, and I'll make a point. I don't want to be one of those people who's on their phone all the time, so I'll make a point to, like, put it away and not look at it. And then whenever said activity is done, I'll say, how many texts you got? And she's like, 3, and I have, like, 147.
Yeah!
It sucks. It's cool. It's nice to be, you know... I'm a sucker for the camaraderie, right? That's probably the thing I love the most about wrestling. You know, the live performance obviously speaks for itself, you know, the adrenaline rush, whatever, but I love being one of the boys.